Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to talk about in this part of the hour is seven things to consider to keep the fire, burning strong for winning souls, for leading people to the Lord. We have been believing, we have been sharing that here on VFN Radio that we're believing for a third grade awakening.
Right.
We're believing for a powerful, a move of God, you know, where many across the country, across the world are going to be coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
To a saving knowledge of making the Lord their personal Lord and Savior. You know, Jesus is coming back again. You know, the rapture of the church is going to happen. The question is, who's going to be ready? Who's going to be going? And only those that know Jesus as Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord instructs us to pray for workers for the harvest, those who are willing to share the love of God and boldly preach the truth. Now, the truth is the full gospel, right? The
mm-hmm.
the kindness and the sternness of God, right? Not just the sugary stuff, not just the good bless me stuff. God loves me, this I know, right? For the Bible tells me so, right?
That's right.
But there's more. There's more, right? Because he loves you, he will help you to love him. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? He will allow situations in your life to cause you to look up to him. And with that, I want to talk about today, and I want to help us to stoke the fire and really fulfill the Great Commission. This is the commission of the church. This is what Jesus told his disciples and what he's telling us today, that all authority in heaven has been given to him on earth. Jesus has all the authority and he has given it to us. But he's given us authority for a purpose, and that is to make disciples. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, right? That's what the word says. And
right.
So we are to go into the harvest and win souls. We're to go into the harvest and make disciples. And so stoking and fanning the flame within us, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things we can do is that we can keep the vision for men's souls before us.
Mm.
That's so important because, you know, out of sight, out of mind, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, without a vision, we learn that people perish. And the first step in keeping a vision for souls before you actually have a vision. If you don't have a vision, you can't keep nothing in front of you. And vision is so important because what vision is going to do is it's going to help you. It's going to help you in your life to have direction. It's going to help you to have purpose. It's going to help you to have clarity. And if you have a written vision for souls, you can set your mind, you can set your soul, you can set your spirit in that direction every day.
Mm-hmm.
You can be thinking about somebody else, right? And what this does, it gives us a fresh perspective to everyone that we encounter now. Because now we're not just thinking about ourselves, but we're thinking about eternity. We're thinking about Jesus. And we're thinking about, you know what? Heaven, eternity, hell, the reality of it.
Right.
But we have to have a vision for this. And you become more concerned and aware that the condition of a person's soul. And it will prompt you to look for ways now to share the gospel with them. You know, there's a saying that says if you don't look for something, you'll never see it. You're not going to find it. You know what I'm saying? You got to have your vision clear. You have to have your eyes and your mind engaged. It can be right in front of you, but you won't never see it if you're actually not looking for it. So the first thing is that we got to keep like a vision for souls before us.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I want to encourage you is listen to anointed soul-winning messages. You know, there's nothing like having faith stirred up on the inside of you And the word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that when we hear anointed messages on leading others to the Lord and the salvation of God, right? Mm-hmm. It stirs our hearts. It stirs our hearts. And it reminds us of God's love for mankind and his desire that they would not perish. I mean, this is God's desire that no one would perish, but what? That they would have everlasting life. And what that does is it helps us. It really helps us to keep the reality of heaven and hell in our minds. The clear understanding that not everybody is in a better place. And this is so important to be talking about this in this hour, because there's such a wishy grace message going on that anything happens, anything goes. There's even a false doctrine being shared that even hell's not a real place.
Right.
Let me tell you something. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And as believers, we want to be on the cutting edge of what God has called us to do. I mean, this is Jesus' last statement to his disciples. You heard of people's famous last words? This is Jesus' last words on earth before he ascends to heaven. And he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go, carry it out. I've paid the price. Now tell them that they can be with me. The third thing that we can do is we can begin to set our hearts. I'm speaking to believers. I'm speaking to the church, right? We can begin to pray daily, right, for Jesus' heart for souls and ask that he would burden us for the loss, that he would give us that burden. I mean, you think about Jesus paid the ultimate price for men's souls.
That's right.
He went all the way to the cross. He was willing to endure tremendous hardship, drink the cup of suffering, be brutally beaten to pay the price for what you, me, and the rest of the world without God, for our sins. And Jesus, if anyone has a heart for so, it's God. It's Jesus. So we need to ask and pray, God, give us your heart. Give us your heart. How do you feel? Empower us in this great hour. Reveal your emotions to us for people. And he'll begin to reveal that for us. And we can begin to love and take care of people the way, you know, God would just burden us with that. You know what I mean? Listen, when we pass away, when folks pass away, you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You can't take any of this stuff with you. Jesus himself came for people, taught for people, died for people. And the only thing that we can take with us to heaven is people.
Mm-hmm.
What are we spending our life, right? Talk about giving purpose and meaning for life. For a believer, the fourth thing we can do is ask the Lord for compassion for the souls of men. You know, Jesus ministered out of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
He ministered out of this overwhelming compassion for people. And compassion is two parts. The first part is that you actually feel bad about the situation. And the second part is you actually do something about it. Compassion begins to soften our hearts and helps us to look past the outer parts of people. Look, helps us to look past the roughness, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it helps us to look into their inner pain. You know, I always like to say that, you know, everybody has a story. Everybody. They may not be able to tell it in a great way. They may not be able to share with you in a compelling way. But let me tell you something. Everybody has a story. And they just didn't end up where they're at by accident. But oftentimes when we don't take the time to pause, we don't have the compassion of God in our lives, we don't have the heart of God, the burden of God in our lives for other people, we don't look into that. We look at the outer exterior and we say, what's your problem?
Yeah.
Right? What's your problem?
Mm-hmm.
But if we prayed, if we asked the Lord, reveal to us, God, reveal to us the pains and the tragedies that folks are going through, because they don't know you. Help us to move with compassion so that we can be your hands, we can be your eyes, we can love people, right? And be your arms, you know, be channels of love for the Lord to minister and touch people. But the great tragedy and one of the greatest things that is affecting the church today, even when you're talking about soul winning, like, what? How foreign is that? What? Leading someone to the Lord? What? What? Are you really talking about that? Mm-hmm. Should I change the channel? What? And the thing is that we're looking at a church that's filled with apathy. It's apathetic, mm-hmm. right? It's filled with apathy. It means just a lack of interest or concern, lack of emotion, absence of emotion or interest. You know, sometimes I find it interesting. It's like I've heard people say, well, I don't have a burden. I don't have a burden for souls. It's like, unless, of course, it's one of your family members.
Hello.
And all of a sudden that burden comes, you know, it's like, we got to preach about the cross. We got to say, wait a minute. Where did it? So it's within us.
Right.
It's within us. But we have to break out of this apathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We must have the same compassion that we have for our family members that don't know Jesus, with the homeless person, for the beggar, right? For the prostitute, for the drug addict, for the drug dealer, for our coworkers, for our neighbors, for the people in our community, and for the people in our cities. Jesus loves them too. Reminds me of Who Does God Love. If you haven't listened to that segment on the Torch, I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and search for Who Does God Love. Let me tell you, God loves everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to come into a position as a believer to prejudge or judge anyone because of their sin. Their sin is between them and God. It's for us to reach out to them. And so, you know, this helps us. We can't just stay like, we can't go out into the lost by just motivating ourselves. We ourselves need to be touched by God. We need God. Said, Lord, we need a heart of compassion. We don't just want to go through the motions, right? We don't want just to go out in the harvest field because we know that's the right thing to do. But Lord, we want you to touch us from the inside out. We want you to perform heart surgery on us and melt our heart with the things that melt yours. Help us to see with your eyes. How do you view that person?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The fifth thing we can do is live with eternity stamped on our forehead. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, meaning that you are conscious. You're consciously aware that you're not living for this life, for the life to come, that we are just passing through, and our time here on earth is really a mere vapor.
Right.
And the older that I get, the more I realize, oh my goodness, you know, I am forcing time more than ever to comply with my destiny, because once it's over, it's over.
That's right.
You got to do all that you can for God in the lifetime and the span that you have to do it in. And if you live long enough, you will experience that people come and people go. They really do.
That's right.
Death is so definite. And people are here and then they're not. And what's remembered about a person's life is what they did or didn't do in that life. It's so true. And when they memorialize, when they're just talking about someone's life, it's about what they did and about what they didn't do. And understand that what we do in this life will determine our next life and whether we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we'll be in heaven. If we don't, or others don't accept the Lord as our personal Lord and Savior, that when we, before we die, then we'll be in hell and with Satan. It's that plain and simple. And we just have this short window of time. I remember going to one particular funeral, and I've been to many in my life, but I went to one particular funeral of a young man in his early 20s who just got married, loved God, and had a brain aneurysm. Something happened in his brain. He just died.
Mm.
I mean, just unexpected. Father was just a man of God and just was serving the Lord, and just the whole family just, you know, loved God, and just thinking, what, you know, how, and you know what I'm saying? All these questions, and he just got married, just had a baby,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was going into the ministry, and he died of a brain aneurysm.
Wow.
And yet I remember just feeling so broken at this funeral. I just remember so broken and feeling so just so kind of like, you know, and at one side, you know, just kind of for his family and for his new baby and his wife, you know, just feeling broken about this person's loss and their friendship. And at the same token, you know, you have that mixed feeling because I knew he was with the Lord and knew, man, I want to be where he's at right now, you know. But the thing about death is that I was pulling out of the service and I was driving onto the road. It was over. You know what I mean? It was over. My mind had to be about what was I going to do next? Where was I going? What was the next thing that I had to do in my... And as much as you wanted to pause and stop life and just, you know, let's just pause a second. Someone just passed. Life continues to go. You can't stop it.
Right.
You can't stop it. And so the thing is, what are we going to do with the time that we do have? What are we going to do? The last thing I want to encourage you, we're talking about how to stoke the fire for the things that burn in the Lord's heart as other people, is to be active in the harvest. You know, it's to be active, to be on the front lines and to be sharing your testimony. You know, sometimes people think that, you know, I just have to be I'm not a fiery evangelist. And they have all these concepts of what, you know, leading someone to the Lord is all about. Or I got to preach this and I got to do that. And listen, one of the most powerful things that you could ever do, one of the most powerful things you could ever do, is share your own personal salvation testimony. Because a man with an argument is always at the mercy of a man with an experience. You can argue about a lot of stuff, but you know what? You can't argue with, I was blind, bound up, but now I see and I am free. And I want to encourage you to get your testimony down. Write it down, you know, get it on paper. Be familiar. Remind yourself. One of the greatest things you could do to stoke that fire of God inside you is to look back at what God saved you from. There's you know, sometimes we come across just folks because they have bad experiences that sometimes we try to bury our testimonies and hide them because of those things that maybe we have done before we knew God that we were ashamed of. But let me tell you, those are trophies. Those are the things that God brought you out of. You know, that's a victory. There's a freedom in that. And when we share that with others, that gives other people hope to say, well, if God did that for you, man, God can certainly do that for me. And what the world needs today, is they need to know about Jesus. They don't need to know about religion. They don't need to know about more organizations. They don't know about 15 steps to a better them. They need to know about Jesus. They need to have an encounter with the living God, as we talked about last week on VFN Radio. And when people have an encounter with Jesus, when they meet Jesus, everything changes.
That's right.
And the only natural progression is what? To follow him.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you today, review these seven things to consider. And I want to encourage you to pray for the lost and to pray that God will send harvesters. What would happen? You know, they say that the average Christian won't lead one person to the Lord. You know, I didn't get this statistic down for you, but it's like in their lifespan.
Mm.
I don't know how many years it is. It's like, what would happen? What would happen if every believer was committed to lead it? Least one person to the Lord. One.
Just one.
If you went on a cruise, you tell me about your cruise.
Yeah.
If you bought a new car, you tell me about your new car. If you went on vacation or did something exciting, you tell me about it. We need to begin to share the hope that we have and sprinkle some of that salt, right? If we don't sprinkle the, we call the salt of the earth.
That's right.
And if we don't do that, we just become bland. We're not bland because we're bland. We're bland because maybe we're just not sharing what God has done in our life. I want to encourage you. This is the finest hour to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. Let's make heaven full and hell empty together. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.